This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
What are the odds the Bears' Friday night news dump release of Prince Amukamara and Taylor Gabriel was a precursor to signing a potential replacement for Mitch Trubisky?
That's more the dream, I think, than the odds, right? I mean, I think the odds could be fairly stacked against you on that one, but that's the dream, isn't it? If you're going to get rid of Prince and Taylor Gabriel, you're doing it because you need more cap space. So now you got like $26 million or something, and you could turn that into a starting quarterback or a potential starting quarterback. The only problem with that strategy, if indeed that's what this is you got to get a cornerback and you got to get a speed receiver. As you cut money, you create other needs. So you can't get everything out of the draft. You don't have a first-round pick. You got two second-round picks. You got to hope that you strike gold. With that, it's a deep receiver class. Maybe you get a speed guy. The speed guys usually go high. Maybe you could try to grab somebody that can run a little bit in the second round. Corners usually go pretty high. You need help at corner. So you got to go buy one if you can't manage to draft one. So I think that the problem with all of this, if this is just a move to get more quarterback help, the problem is you're creating other issues. So it's a difficult business trying to figure this. Hey, every team goes through it, and it's part of what you have to do. And if you deem a guy not worthy of $9 million, off you go. But it's a hard position to fill. And it's the same thing when you look at Leonard Floyd. He's sitting there. That's $13 million, right? And you can fill some holes with $13 million. The problem is, can you get a pass rusher for that kind of money? Probably triple that money in a way, right? Double for sure. So I would say that the hope is that this means they're getting a good backup quarterback. But I still believe that they're going to get the kind of backup quarterback that we've been talking about all year long, the Case Keenums of the world.
That was my first reaction when the question, was it a precursor to signing a potential replacement for Mitch Trubisky? One can hope, and that's going to be sort of the mindset you take into the NFL Combine Week in Indianapolis, where the NFL League will convene this week, and it's beginning of the of rumor week in the NFL. The unofficial tampering period will begin for free agents and their agents. And so you think that the range of possible options for the Bears is everywhere from not going to go with the Tom Brady, that's ridiculous, and Phillip Rivers, because that doesn't make any sense. But then you start to get into the Derek Carr speculation and that kind of range, everywhere from Derek Carr to Andy Dalton to maybe Case Keenum at the bottom of the list, I think, in terms of options. You know, so I think that you have to keep an open mind if you're Ryan Pace. You kind of look at the, you also want to keep an eye on the CBA. We'll get into this with Brad Biggs a little bit, but depending on what happens with the CBA, might determine how quickly you have to act with this fifth-year option with Mitch Trubisky. It might force your hand a little bit earlier if the language is worded in a certain way contractually. As for Amukamara, I'm a little surprised only because the reality sinks in that this is not a win now move. This is a cost cutting move for a defense that is ready to win now and good enough to be as good as they were last year. And I don't know that it makes sense to kind of swap out corners, because that's a really important position that maybe you took for granted. Trey Roberson, the guy coming from the CFL, I don't know if that's somebody you can trust yet. I think you'd like to have depth there, but I think he provides it. But you need a starting cornerback on a very good defense now, and that's a hole that you have yet to fill. Taylor Gabriel, injuries limited him to 7 games last year starting, and that was always going to be an issue. I can see moving on from him with a deep wide receiver class easier and I think more understandable than moving on from a guy in Prince and McComore that I think you might have taken for granted.
Yeah, I think, first of all, when it comes to Taylor Gabriel, you know, he was more a good player when he was on the field, you know, useful to have. But he was more of a luxury, I think, for this team that has drafted wide receivers at a pretty high clip over the past few years. They've got plenty of them available. And if they need to develop that position, they can do it from within at a cheaper cost than what Taylor Gabriel would have afforded. So that one's not a huge surprise to me. Writing was kind of on the wall there. Prince Amukamara, I was initially surprised by his release, but then, you know, I thought about it a little bit more and it made more sense to me. A guy who is not old, but, you know, for the NFL, he's a little bit long in the tooth, I guess you could say. And he's a guy as well that has had his fair share of lower body injuries that have maybe hindered him a little bit as well. And with that salary, again, after the fact, when I kind of analyzed it a little bit, it kind of seemed more like a no-brainer. I don't know if Trey Roberson will be the guy that steps in. Apparently, he was pretty coveted by several different teams from what I was reading, that he had the options to go to a few different places, and he chose the Bears. So maybe the mutual interest that was clearly there kind of puts him in the driver's seat for that open spot now. Maybe they address it in the draft. I'm not really sure what they're going to do. But I think freeing up this money does add more smoke to the potential fire of a quarterback, whether it's going to be a Keenum, who, frankly, I think, you know, might be a better option than Trubisky. I mean, Keenum's not that far removed from a really good season with the Vikings a couple of years ago, or a Dalton, or maybe a Carr. That's probably the best case scenario, and that might cost them Leonard Floyd if, you know, they need to swap or make the salaries work out or whatever. I think that could be an appealing option for Oakland if they want to go that direction. But this definitely signals to me that they are freeing up money to get another quarterback in here, whether it's a backup, whether it's a starter, whether it's just a guy on equal footing as Trubisky. You know, no matter what Pace and Nagy say in publicly, I think privately they know they need another quarterback in here, and this is the right offseason to do it. It's the only time they can with this defense and everything else in place. They need a better quarterback, and I think they realize that.
As important as the need is to upgrade your backup quarterback position from Chase Daniel, I mean, I think the odds that cutting ties with the Mukamara and Gabriel are stacked against the idea that all of this is to bring in a potential replacement for Trubisky. Because on top of the needs you've created by cutting ties with Prince and Taylor Gabriel, you need to replace them. You have a need at tight end. Are they going to stay committed to Trey Burton and all of his health issues? I mean, you would think the smart move would be to bring in another tight end, because I don't think it's wise to depend on a guy like Trey Burton, who's had so many health issues. You have concerns about the offensive line that did not play well the entire season, and you have to replace Kyle Long. So I think the odds are stacked against the idea of that this is going to bring in another be the move to help bring in another quarterback. But I mean, and they need to. They cannot settle, I don't think, for a, you know, middle of the road backup that is you know, the level of talent that Chase Daniels. They need someone who can step in and replace Trubisky. I just don't think, unfortunately, that this is the move that indicates they will.
Well, this is a huge problem. You're talking about cutting two starters to potentially fill the backup quarterback spot. Now, I mean, starting quarterback spot or backup quarterback spot?
They have $27 million under the cap.
What's the difference?
They're in a position to get a guy who is capable of starting. Right?
If you're filling that spot, it could be a starter, right?
Was that a rhetorical question, Dustin?
I Kevin was in here correcting me. I'm very confused. I'm very, very, very confused
the
by this move.
The ideal quarterback
I get the
would
wide
be.
Receiver move, I guess. It's a luxury, but I thought, you know, you need to give Mitch weapons and Nagy needs bodies. And, you know, they drafted a kid last year in the fourth round that barely ever saw the field, right?
And they're going to have to draft another one.
I'm saying, and he's not the replacement, right? He's not the Taylor Gabriel replacement, is he?
Well, they're planning on playing him, but no, he's not a speed guy.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So this just seems really weird. I mean, if anything, I expected Leonard Floyd to be the guy that would be out on the streets. He's the guy that should be out on the streets. But, of course, now the Bears are going to look at is, well, you know, if you have a bad goal of it, the Bears at least will put you out on the streets so you can get a new job with a new team early. They're the good guys. They have a heart.
There's a big difference between Leonard Floyd and Prince Amukamara besides the position. They drafted one of those guys.
Answer the question!
Jesus.
Wow.
Kenny Williams
Jerry.
spoke out to clarify the White Sox had no interest in Yasiel Puig. Why do you think Williams went to such lengths to make that point? And is passing on Puig a good or a bad move?
It was definitely seemed like a response to speculation. Maybe wanted to give affirmation to somebody like Mazzara, who maybe he felt like he needed it. But you haven't heard a lot from Kenny Williams this spring, and they took the occasion to find, I don't know, if Chuck Garfine found him or vice versa. We'll talk to Chuck today. It'll be good to catch up with him out in Arizona. But there was no question the White Sox wanted to reiterate the idea that this was not a rumor that had any legs. And I get it because it kind of confirmed what we feared when we had that discussion about Puig. Is that okay? Great talent, you know. If he gets hot, he can really go. He can be a dangerous hitter in the middle of that lineup, and it's already a dangerous lineup. But chemistry issues, I think, kept the Sox away. And you heard it in what Kenny said, and said they met with him in December before they made the trade for Mazzara, and it didn't make sense then, and it certainly doesn't fit right now. I was as surprised, I guess, with Jose Abreu being as outspoken about the guy that we thought was going to be, you know, looking to him for direction in the White Sox clubhouse. But he said that he didn't think it would be a good fit either, and it would be difficult for Puig to accept a limited role for an everyday player. I like the honesty. I like the transparency. And they're going to move on. And you look at that White Sox lineup and you figure out, I kind of think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, you know, I think this is more about the role in which they envision him. And the fact that he doesn't like to be in that role. I think that the reason that you heard Jose Abreu say that is because it's accurate. I think that, you know, this is a platoon spot. You want to start Mazzara, you want him against right-handed pitchers, and then you'd use Puig against lefties. Now, you know, what if Louis Robert doesn't start quickly? What if he struggles? Would there be a feeling that Puig should move into center field and play next to Mazzara, right? So you just don't want to change the chemistry of your outfield. I don't know that Ricky is a strong enough personality to kind of handle all of that. I think he's got other things to do. And I think Puig comes with the whole series. Listen, the guy's a ton of fun, and he's a great offensive player. I personally think it'd be great to see him with the White Sox.
Do you think they worried
but
about that?
I get it. I do.
Do you think
be.
A stronger manager would have empowered them to maybe go out and have a
well,
deeper discussion about
it? Well, I don't want to say
it.
That because he's been with some stronger managers who have struggled and been unable to
You're
do
right.
much with them.
You're
so,
right.
You know, I just think that it's more of handling that particular piece of the puzzle than it is really, you know, you might be bringing on more problems than it's worth.
Right.
Because the idea of getting him is that he's at a bargain price, but that means he needs to play for him to get paid next year. So I think it makes sense that they just didn't want to take on the difficulty.
Yeah, I mean, as a character, as a guy,
fun.
As a personality, fun as hell. And from that aspect, I would welcome him on the White Sox or the Cubs or any team in town, so we could keep an eye on the guy because he's entertaining from that aspect. I just don't know what he really offers the White Sox specifically as a player. I mean, this is not the Yasiel Puig that we saw, you know, what, 6-7 years ago when he was coming up with the Dodgers. He's been on several different teams. His work ethic has been brought into question several times, you know, resting on his laurels perhaps and not putting the work in to ascend to that next level that he probably was capable of at one point. But now he's 29 years old. He's been on how many teams over the past few years? He really doesn't play a great outfield for you. And, you know, you talk about him potentially platooning with Mazzara, maybe against left-handed hitters. He only hit 279 against lefties last year. So the one thing that maybe you think that he's going to be useful for, he's not even that good at. Adam Engel hit 313 against left-handed pitching last year. So that might even be a better option that we brought up a little bit last week. Plus, you know, with the glove, Engel
is... love him.
I don't love
you
him.
You love him. It's all you ever talk about. Adam Engel. Oh, and you stare off into space.
Who's the best defensive outfielder on the White Sox?
I glove him.
Yeah.
Who's the best defensive outfielder on the White Sox?
You tell me, Kevin. Just say the name. It'll make you feel better.
Adam Bloody Engel.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
And you need one. We can all project Luis Robert to be a great center fielder, and maybe in time he will be. But right now, you need at least one good defensive outfielder because you don't really have any with any proven track records, and you need Adam Engel on this roster. And if he can punch a little bit against left-handed pitching, then it adds to it. Listen, I'm not riding the Adam Engel bandwagon or gosh, you
glove him. Kevin's in glove him. With him.
I don't like when I'm on the other end of the yeah. coin here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, now you can walk in my shoes.
One of the quotes from Kenny Williams in this NBC Sports Chicago piece is, after our meeting, we came away big Yasiel Puig fans, but he wasn't the right fit for us then, and he isn't now. Obviously, they met with him. It was, you know, a meeting out of respect. They kind of respect Puig, but, I mean, yeah.
He licked a bat and they said goodbye.
That's it. That's really it, David. I mean, yeah, as Kevin brings up, he's a player that's on the decline, and I get that. I think it's totally fine that they pass on Puig. They see some sort of upside with Mazzara. I'm skeptical of that.
I think he's right, though. I think David is right when he says part of it might be not putting the fear of God in Mazzara. They want him to know that he's the guy and he's not a platoon player.
Yeah, that could definitely be it. I'm okay with not, you know, taking Puig. I'm skeptical about Mazzara, and I hope, hopefully, he'll prove me wrong and all of the Mazzara haters wrong.
I hadn't thought of it until you brought it up, Molly, but it's probably because Ricky couldn't handle it. That's probably why. It's just, and I think the Mazzara thing makes a lot of sense too. Came here because he believed he was going to be the everyday guy. They don't need a guy like Puig. Puig's just too animated for the situation. I don't know why. Here's what I don't understand. Kenny, go away. Like, why are you on? Why is he the one that needs to address Puig? Just go, do whatever you do. Things seem to be working out on paper. Things seem to be working out. You and Rick are doing a nice job together. But let Rick talk.
Hold on a second.
I don't need to hear from him.
You're saying go away, and I get the sentiment, but if Ryan Pace, who has been away since January 1st, we talk about him wanting to be more accessible. Kenny shows up to explain why he doesn't want to go out there to trade.
There's not another person. I hate to interrupt you, but there's not another Ryan Pace person. There is Rick Hahn. Ryan Pace. There is, I mean, Scott Hagel? Is Scott Hagel
good
speaking?
Answer.
I mean, I'm just saying.
There is a person. Nobody wants to hear from him.
There is a person who talks, okay? His name is Rick Hahn. Talk. And be heard. Other people that don't talk, go away. Wear your sunglasses. Eat frozen lobster.
What was the context of it, Dustin? If Kenny is asked a question and he answers it, don't be unfair.
No,
it's Jed and Theo, man.
Go talk to Rick. That's the answer to the question. Go talk to Rick.
Why? It's Jed and Theo.
No, it's not Jed and Theo because we hear from Jed and Theo. We don't hear from the other guy except these weird cases.
Or is it Theo and Jed?
Well, that's a whole other topic.
I know this is frustrating for everyone. Believe me, I get the question about two or three times a day.
Reliever Brandon Morrow suffered another setback, this time a chest injury. Even if Morrow is a long shot to recover and help the Cubs, should they do whatever is necessary to see what they can get out of the investment or make a clean break with a player who is a constant reminder of Theo Epstein's worst winter?
Wow. I didn't know that he was that a constant reminder of Theo's worst winter. I'm sure Theo probably has had some worse moments in his life than that winter, but I don't know. It's that Theo's Russian winter. I think the minute I heard that Morrow had something wrong, I was like, I think I actually threw papers in the air, and I didn't even have any near me. I just had to run over and grab papers and throw them in the air because the plans are once again foiled. Listen, Brandon Morrow's a really nice guy. We had a great conversation with him. But as a baseball player, I'm not sure I ever want to hear about him again.
I'm with you. That's what I mean. This is like a constant reminder of the winter of Theo Epstein's discontent. My goodness, did he waste a lot of money that winter? Go away. You talk about a guy you don't want to hear from, and I respect his willingness and eagerness to get back on a major league mound because he has had a long career, and he's had a successful one, and he's made a ton of money. But he hasn't pitched since July of 2018. I don't count on him for one single inning. And I know that Tommy Hotovy, our guy, said yesterday that you know whenever he comes back, it will be a good thing for the Cubs, and they will welcome him with open arms. What makes you think he's coming back? Really? What gives you any reason to believe this guy is coming back? So, I don't know. I just, whenever I do see these updates, when he got back on in camp on a minor league contract, I just felt like this was going to be a symbol of disappointment. And so far, so bad.
You know, not only did Adam Engel hit .313 against left-handed pitching last year, but he also put up an on-base percentage of .360, well above average, with an OPS of .842.
There he goes.
Is a useful player to have on your 26-man roster. As far as Brandon Morrow goes, I mean...
Stop breathing heavy.
I can't believe that we're even talking about Brandon Morrow. And no disrespect intended when he's has been healthy over his career. He's been very good. But the problem is he has been not healthy for the majority of his career, whether it was his time in Seattle or Toronto or any of the other stops that he's really made, other than the 1 year on the Dodgers, which is why Theo paid him, which was, it's not even a hindsight thing. Like at the time, myself and a lot of other people were like, Brandon Morrow, okay, one good healthy season with the Dodgers. Why are you guaranteeing him?
What he was pitched in seven straight World Series games.
Yeah, and by the end of it, he was completely gassed.
Rubber arm.
And you kind of knew at that point with a guy with his injury history after having that workload in the World Series that you bring up there, he wasn't ever going to be healthy. So, yeah, it's probably a constant reminder of maybe not Theo's worst winter, but certainly one of his worst signings in terms of return on investment, and at age, what, 35, going to be 36 in July, with his injury history, I mean, we don't need to talk about Brandon Morrow ever again. He's not going to pitch in the majors, certainly not with the Cubs in 2020.
I just feel bad for the guy. I mean, you know, you heard towards the end of the season when Tommy Hotovy joined you guys, I believe it was him that talked about how hard Brandon Morrow was working to try and get back, and he's been very diligent about, you know, making a comeback. It sucks to hear this, but I mean, this guy has not pitched since July of 2018. July of 2018 for a guy that was supposed to be your closer, and it's been an issue for the past couple of years. I mean, you just have to. He's listed as day to day. If he can come back and he can show you something, okay, that's one thing. But if he cannot, he's not showing you anything, or he can't get healthy, I think, you know, by the time training camp is over, spring training's done, you have to cut bait with him.
I'm shocked that we're talking about Morrow this morning, after a couple of spring training games that actually took place. The bar is so low with him. If he contributes, great. If he goes away, so what? This is why the Cubs are having money problems. It's been a colossal mistake. But this also goes to, here's another, if anything, this is another reason why, okay, Joe Maddon isn't here anymore. His use of Brandon Morrow was a huge issue for Theo and Jed. See what I did there? Theo and Jed. So that's another reason. If anything, that's the juice of it. If he pitches, great. If he doesn't, great. There's so many other things to talk about with the
Cubs. What are they?
How about the leadoff hitter that we spent all week last week talking about actually being productive in the leadoff hole? How about Tyler Chatwalk not walking anybody in his one inning of spring training?
It's February. Well, we're not breaking down spring training baseball, are we?
Well, it's a lot better than talking about Brandon frickin' Morrow. Who gives a rat's rear end about Brandon Morrow? Guy hurt himself pulling his pants up.
I think taking them off, actually.
Either way,
that can be harder.
Dropping your drawers, pulling
meal.
Them up. Obviously, he needs
more cord.
He was going
to get that shot of torque.
That's exactly.
You
see,
I beat drop your shit, it. Yeah. Drop your shirt.
There's a lot of questions in there.
What is your number one takeaway from the debut of the new Marquee Sports Network, and where does it go from here?
Well, the number one takeaway for everyone is going to be personal. Mine is I can't watch it, so I don't know what I missed. I don't have Marquee Sports Network. And it's not because I don't want to get the Marquee Sports Network. It's because the Cubs have not yet struck a deal with Comcast, which is my provider, so I cannot watch the Cubs. I've been assured by people within the Cubs organization that that's not going to be a problem before opening day. So, but that aside, my own little petty problems aside, what I read about it, what I saw on the Twitter machine about it, looks like they're going to have growing pains. This is spring training. They're going to have the equivalent of a top of the rotation starters, you know, 10.75 ERA in March. If so, they're going to struggle out of the gate, and I think there's going to be some clumsiness. And I think part of that we saw on Saturday with their first hour or so. And there's still some people who will be complaining today. And if you got a complaint, you know, feel free to let us know about it. There's only one little thing. I heard Mark Grace was funny. I heard that he was very good and insightful at some other things people liked about the on-demand. I heard from a half dozen Cubs fans who really loved this idea about everything that they saw on Saturday. So I don't want to overreact one way or another. The one little thing that I saw that I don't know if anybody else caught this. It's the Cubs. Cubby blue, right? The marquee label, the poll, whatever, is red. And then when you see the C for the Cubs, I'm thinking it's a lot of Cincinnati reddish stuff. Like, it looks very Cincinnati red-like to me. I think they need to maybe tweak that or rethink that.
Okay, my number one takeaway from the debut of the new Marquee Sports Network was one of jealousy. I really felt, my God, this is spectacular. I mean, I kept turning back to it at different points. I understand the lip-syncing problem, but that was resolved eventually. I understand that, you know, some, like, as I said, some of the tape didn't look too good from the old stuff. But anything they were doing new, and the game broadcast itself, was spectacular. I mean, it's them running their own team. You know, I got to tell you, I really enjoyed watching Ryan Dempster play long toss with John Lester and talk it over while they're throwing the ball back and forth. I mean, it's a little bit too much Dempster for me, but I could hear Lester all day. As a Sox fan, I believe they have six spring training games on Comcast Sportsnet. Six. That's awful. That's terrible. I don't think anybody is doing handstands about that, right? So if you can't get out to spring training and you want to know everything you can know about the team, you are, you know, scouring the internets and you're reading the paper and you're back to the usual ways of getting stuff done. I want more information, and that Marquee Network will give it to you. So I think there's going to be growing pains. I think it's going to be something that as you move forward. But if I were a Cub fan, I would be delighted and absolutely enthusiastic about it. And it's on my cable system, which is great. David, I want to know, will you buy the Hulu package if they don't have it come
up? If they don't have it by opening day, I'm going to have to. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, some of us, you know, can't afford to spend another $55 per month on Hulu. And like you, David, I cannot see it with my cable provider. So I did not see a second of the Marquee Network. Thus, the baton will be passed to Ray.
Quickly, Kevin, though, yeah. Curious. I'm average consumer. And do you hold the Cubs or Comcast responsible for the impasse?
The Cubs, of course.
Okay.
What? Who else?
I'm just curious because I've heard from both sides.
Well, my biggest takeaway was also, couldn't watch it, bro. I don't have it on Comcast. And as a Cubs fan, I hate that.
So you're jealous, too.
I'm also jealous.
Exactly. There are 2.5 million people in the Chicago area that are jealous this morning because they don't know anything we're talking about.
Exactly. So, you know, I have a decision to make. Am I going to cut the cord and go with Hulu? Well, Hulu doesn't have the NFL Network. Hulu doesn't provide Red Zone or anything like that. That's not great. So cutting the cord, honestly, as a customer of Comcast, I mean, it would save me some money, sure. But then, I hate that I don't have the NFL Network. So that's a decision to make. I'm also contemplating exclusively listening to the Cubs games right here on the
Absolutely.
Score. I go. Might do that because, I don't know, do I want to cut the cord? I'm undecided right now. That's my biggest takeaway is I'm still in flux in my Cubs television
decision.
And Ray,
can I watch Outlander on Hulu?
I believe you can.
Is that possible?
I think it's possible.
Okay. David's cutting the cord.
And just for what it's worth, a couple of texters have said this, and I saw this over the weekend. I mean, Hulu didn't have it this weekend.
Right.
Okay.
That's the other thing.
So, right, they were supposed to have it, and they didn't have it. I also think some of the buildings in Chicago, RNC, is that the outfit, right?
RCN.
RCN, okay. Yeah. They also had issues.
They did.
RCN had issues.
Here's a text, Dustin. Downstate, DirecTV customer who is eligible and paying for it, still not on. They say 3 to 5 days.
Right. Here's what's great. You know, Kevin, I think jokingly, but he's like, we're talking about February and spring. It was great to watch spring training baseball. And what really mattered at the end of the day, we had a nice, funny little text exchange going on. And the game, okay, it was Saturday night when they finally got to the game. Sunday afternoon when they got to the game, spectacular. I liked the graphics. I liked the announcers. I liked everything I saw. The broadcast, which is the steak, okay, it's the bone-in ribeye of the event. It's the game. That's what we all care about. That's the entree. Everything there was spot on and fantastic.
They had a shot that came up to three little kids standing in the outfield, and one kid's glove, he kind of turned to look at the camera, and he knocked his glove over, and it fell down, and you saw the kid yelling, like, hey, throw it up. That, I got to tell you something. That, like, warmed my heart. It's moments like that. I'm telling you, it's baseball.
Rub it in.
It's baseball. It was great. There were some issues.
Reinventing the wheel?
The dubbing to start was absolutely ridiculous. Listen, and here's the thing. And people are like, what are you talking about? What's the big deal? It's the behind the scenes people. Like, you can't. Somebody made a massive, super huge technical mistake. It's awful. That, yeah. The video that Molly mentioned was messing with my head.
Yeah, I'm
my
getting eyes, motion sickness.
Like, my eyes hurt. It was that, like, I loved what they were showing. I wanted to remember that, but I remember watching some of that stuff, and it didn't look like that. And I had, like, a Zenith TV. It was just a TV, nothing special. And it plugged into the wall, and there was an antenna on the top. But it didn't look like, there were some technical massive screw-ups. But the game itself and the access, Molly, to your point about the guys playing catch and talking it out, that was great. It was great. It was absolutely fantastic.
We had a texter say Lester allowed 5 runs during that conversation. That's so mad.
That's a good question, David.
The Blackhawks kept D-man Eric Gustafsson off the ice and didn't play goalie Robin Lehner over the weekend with Monday's trade deadline looming. How many trades do you expect Stan Bowman to make today, and who will be the biggest name dealt?
Well, I think they're going to make a few different trades, and I think the biggest name dealt is going to be Robin Lehner. I think Robin Lehner not playing is a huge deal. You don't play a guy because you're going to trade a guy, and that means there's interest in him, and why wouldn't you be interested in him? So I think he's going to move, and I'm upset about that because I was hoping that he would stick around for a while. I think he's a good player. I think Gustafsson was traded like 2 weeks ago. They just haven't announced it. I don't know why the hell. I mean, that seems like a lock. Brandon Saad could be another guy that ends up going. I think they're going to make some deals. I think that the only way they wouldn't is if they don't get the value for the players. But I think the players are good enough to be traded.
It won't surprise me if Robin Lehner is the one on the move. They are seeking a big return, though. Carolina has 2 first-round draft picks. They have a need at goaltender, and they're clinging to the final wild card spot in the East. So they might be motivated to make a deal that big, depending on how badly they want him. I think it's a big ask for the Blackhawks, and that's probably why he's still a member of the Blackhawks. But I wouldn't be shocked if he is dealt. Gustafsson, I think, is a matter of time. It's a matter of when, not if. They would like to recoup a second-round pick for him. I think that's probably asking a lot. But at this point, you've got until 2 p.m. Ask for the moon, especially if it comes to Brandon Saad. I would not trade Brandon Saad. I would keep him. I think he's salvageable. And I think if you're going to win in the next couple of years, and it's way overdue that he's going to be part of the solution and not necessarily part of the problem. I think the biggest name that will be dealt is, as you said, Molly, will be Robin Lehner.
Yeah, I mean, Saad's only 27 years old still. He's been around forever. It's hard to imagine that he's that young. And he's a guy you would like to hold on to. But listen, the Hawks are in such a tight spot right now. They've hit the skids here at the worst possible time. They're pretty much done in the playoff race. So I think anybody outside of Kane, Taves, and Duncan Keith is going to be out there on the market. And I would not be surprised to see 2, 3, maybe even 4 trades right now because they need to shake this thing up a little bit. They're going nowhere this year. And as much as they'd like to keep a guy like Saad or Lehner, you know, if the price is right, you know, they need to retool a little bit. And that's the cost of playing poker. So don't get too attached to any of these guys, I guess.
I think Stan Bowman makes two moves. We've heard so much speculation about Gustafson, so I think he'll be gone. And it's, you know, reportedly the talks between the Blackhawks and Leonard about a contract have stalled, and he didn't play over the weekend, so I think it's goodbye to Robin Leonard too.
Yeah, he can get out of here. I mean, him and his $9 million demands after what he did against the Rangers the other night, beat it. I want to see what direction they're going. Here's what I don't want to. I don't want to see Jonathan Toews traded today. That's what I don't want to see.
Me neither.
That's not going to happen.
No. Well, gosh, I hope not. That would be a bad day.
I'm with you, Dustin. I don't want to see it either, but I really. I mean, we would have heard that, a hint of it, wouldn't we?
I don't know.
My guess is people probably have asked, but I would hope that the answer would be click.
I hope so too.
All right, 312-644-6767. Want to hear from some Marquee Network watchers. A lot of people who watch the games understand how good it's going to be, but there were a lot of complaints about it.
And a lot of people paid to watch the games and were unable to.
And a lot of people unable to get it. Not on Hulu yet, apparently not on DirecTV yet. We have a lot of people saying that. So 312-644-6767. What'd you think of the Bears? Are they going to get a quarterback with the money they saved? Kenny Williams clarifying, no Yaziel Puig. What do you think, Sox fans? Brandon Morrow, boy. And, of course, Blackhawk fans, you can check in on who you don't want to be traded as much as who you want gone. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.